Begin the current daf Masechta Brachos daf Lamed Hey. The first five parakim of this Masechta, the first two being was discussing the halachas of Kriyishma and Birchas Kriyishma. Then the next three were speaking about the halachas of Tefillah, Shemini Esrei, the proper conduct and the proper order of Shemini Esrei. Now our parak begins discussing the halachas of Birchas Hanen regarding the brachas that we make when we have enjoyment from this world. And our Mishnah begins discussing the brachas that we make on fruits and vegetables and the exceptions and what type of brachas do we make on them. So the Mishnah begins, Ketzem mevarchen al peres. In what manner do we make a blessing on the fruit? So the Mishnah says, Al peres se'ilu no'im abay per eitz. On fruits of the tree one makes a bracha that Hashem is the creator of the fruits of the tree. Chutz min ha'yayin, except for wine. That although wine also is a fruit that comes from the tree, shalayayin no'im abay per agafin, because on that, on wine, we make a special bracha that Hashem is the creator of the fruits of the vine, and that is since of its chashivas, of its special, unique character, they established it, they fixed it for its own unique bracha. And similarly, as we're going to learn regarding bread, since it's very chashev, it has its own bracha in spite of the fact that it's part of a different category. The Mishnah continues about peir sa'aretz, ho'oyme b'ri pri adam, and the fruits of the ground. One makes a bracha that Hashem is, we thank Hashem that He's forgiving us and that He's the creator of the fruits of the land. However, chutz min hapas, except for bread, although bread, grain comes from the ground, when one eats bread, one makes a special bracha that Hashem takes out bread from the ground. And then finally, the Mishnah discusses Baal Hirokis regarding greens, similarly as we make regarding, as we said before, all other fruits of the ground and greens grow from the ground, one makes a bari pradama. Or Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, bari mina d'Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda says one makes a special, unique bracha that Hashem is the one who creates different types of herbage. And that is, since there are different types of pri hadama, that is, there's two types specifically. There's dashoyim and zroyim. For example, dashoyim are herbs and vegetables, which is then you eat the actual thing that's growing from the ground. And then there are zroyim, there are grains, for example, like kidneys. Rabbi Yehuda requires a unique understanding and specificity that's necessary for every bracha, for every single type. And since yirokis, the greens, I have its own, in other words, inclusive of all vegetables, that one eats the vegetable. It's not like the other peyer sa'aretz, that they are the zroyim, that you don't eat the actual thing that grows. For example, grain, you don't eat the stalk, you only eat the seeds of it. So that would be bari pri adam. However, yirokis, herbs and greens, there would have its own bracha, since it's its own, so to speak, subcategory, that bari mina d'sham, that Hashem is the creator of different types of herbage, and not, so to speak, in the umbrella bracha of bari pri adama, as we'll see in later Gemaras, that similarly shahakal, although it's inclusive of everything, we want to be as specific in our praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as possible, like just when someone enjoys a dish and you say, wow, that was a great chalent or whatever it is, but when you say, oh, I enjoyed the beans or the spices, you get specific, that's when the real praises come out, and therefore different things require its own specific brachas. So now the Gemara discusses menohan mili. Where do we know this whole idea, bachlal, at all, that one makes a bracha rishon, that one makes a bracha before or after one eats? So the Gemara brings a ton of buttons. We learned in the Braisa. The Braisa already discusses this. It says in the Pasuk, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, that it's holy for praises to Hashem. And that is, this Pasuk is in the context of Netir Revai, which are the fruits of the fourth year of a tree. And that is, the first 3 years of a tree, it's called Arla, and it's forbidden to have any pleasure from it. You can't take any of the fruits. The fourth year is called Netir Revai, then one brings up the fruits to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, and eats it there. So now, when the Pasuk says that they're holy for praises to Hashem, that you have to bring it up and, so to speak, celebrate with Hashem these fruits of the fourth year, and then afterwards from the fifth year and on, then you can do whatever you want with your fruits, with all amongst the halachas that apply to it, says that it's holy with praises. So the word praises is plural. It's mashmid, it seems to be that there are two praises that are necessary when one eats the fruits that are permissible, which start in the fourth year, and that is when it starts being mutter to eat it, versus the first 3 years that it's forbidden to eat. So the Braisa says, malamit shetu in the bracha lefnei malachrem. From here you learn, although it's in the context of Netir Revai, but that's when things become, when it's permitted to eat these fruits, that it's necessary to make a blessing before and after one eats. That's hilulim, that's the pluralistic praises of when the person makes the food that he's going to eat. Mikan omer Rebbe Kiva, asa la'adam shitim klum kodem shevarach. From here, Rebbe Kiva says that one sees that it's forbidden to even taste anything before one makes a blessing, because you have to, so to speak, permit it with the hilulim Hashem, and that makes it permissible to eat, and that's the source for where we have that one has to make brachas before and after one eats. So the Gemara asks, "V'hai kodesh hilulim l'hochi huda asa? Is it true that this pasuk is holy with praises, that it's coming to teach us this halacha, the plural praises, one before and then one after one eats? Haimi boile, but we need it for different limudim. And that is, as the Gemara is going to tell us, the word hilulim is closely related with the word chilulim, because hey and ches, since they're gutturals, they're interchangeable. And that is, the word chilulim means that to deconsecrate something. And therefore, we have, so to speak, a plural chilulim. We have two things of desecration, because it says in the plural term. So one of them, the Gemara is going to tell us, is going to teach us the halacha of achle b'hadar achle, that first one has to, so to speak, be mechalal, he has to deconsecrate the kedusha of the fruits, and then he could eat it. And that is, if he wants to, so to speak, redeem these fruits into chulin through a pidyon, through redeeming it, so to speak. In other words, if he wants to eat the netrevai out of Yerushalayim, although he has to bring up the fourth year fruits up to Yerushalayim, it'll be a major overhaul to take everything, bring it up to Yerushalayim. So he can redeem it. That's called chilul. Therefore, that's one limud that it's telling you, that kodesh chilulim l'Hashem, that it's holy with these consecrations to Hashem. That one limud is telling you that you could deconsecrate it first, and then you could eat, so to speak, with the money you could purchase other things in Yerushalayim. And one is coming to teach you a different halacha, that the halachas of revai of the fourth year only applies to a vineyard, to a kerem. As it says, as the Gemara is going to tell us, kodesh hilulim, that it's related to the word chilul and hilul, is that something that we mahalal to Hashem, that we praise Him with, that requires chilul, that we have to deconsecrate, and that's where the laws of the fourth year apply. And that's wine versus other fruits doesn't have the same obligations as wine have regarding the years, the halachas of the fourth year, to bring it up and to deconsecrate, as the Gemara is going to explain right now. So therefore, the Gemara's question is, how could you say that kodesh hilulim is teaching us this halacha of hil, halal before one eats, which means a bracha, and halal after? We need this plural halals for two different halachas, which refer to chilul, that deconsecration. As the Gemara says, chad da'am rachmana achle b'hadar achle. One is coming to teach us the halacha that we just explained before, that first you deconsecrate the fruits of the fourth year, and then you could eat them because now they're chulim, because now the money has that kedusha, and you could bring up that money to Yerushalayim and purchase food over there. The other halacha, the other, so to speak, term of chilul, would apply to that only something that requires shira, that requires song, would we require deconsecration, which that's the reference to kerem revai and not to net revai. In other words, the laws of the fourth year of the fruits that one has to bring up to Yerushalayim only applies to a vineyard, not to other fruits, for example, an apple or whatever other fruit trees. And something that, and that, as the Gemara says, it's something that does not require shira, does not require chil, as the Gemara explains, Ukadir b'shmo b'nachmen u'amir b'yaynesin. The Amr b'shmo b'nachmen u'amir b'yaynesin. Minayin she'inim u'amim shira el aliyayin. How do you know that we only say shira or howl on wine? That is, the Levim, when they would say the shir on the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, they would only say it on wine when they would be pouring the wine, the nesachim, on the Mizbeach with the carbon. Shnemaz says, the pasuk in Shaiftim, when it says in reference to the older different, so to speak, foods in the kingdom, wanted to appoint the Geffen, the vine, as the king. So, V'taymalem ha-Geffen, so the vine said to all the other creatures, to the other foods, Hechdalti esteroishi, should I withhold my wine, ha-mesameich elikim ba-noshim, that makes people and God happy? To which the Gemara explains that pasuk. What does that mean? Although this is a metaphor, is an analogy, but what does it mean? If wine makes people happy, how does wine make God happy? From here you learn that we don't recite shira only on wine. In other words, that's what's misamech lekim. That makes God happy, so to speak, when we bring karbanos. And that's a reference to wine. So the vine was saying that I need to give it for man and for God to rejoice. And therefore, we see that the only thing that requires shir when the Levim would say hala is only on the wine. So therefore, that's the one thing that Davin turns shir. It when it says chilulim, that one is telling you the halacha of deconsecrating, that there is such a halacha of pidya, and then you could go eat the fruits out of Yerushalayim because you're going to be using the money in Eretz Yisrael. And the other halacha is telling you that the only thing that requires chilul, in other words, that the laws of revai apply to, is only to the fruits of a vine, to kerem revai, and not to the fruits of any other tree. So therefore the Gemara is back to the question that where would we know a source for brachas before and after one eats? It cannot be learned out from the pasuk of a kodesh hilulim Hashem, because that hilulim is telling us two other hilulim, which is chilulim, that one has to deconsecrate and then he can eat it. And similarly, that what requires chilul is only something that requires hil, that requires praise, which is wine. That's the only thing that the Levim would say shiran in the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Gemara goes back and says that it is understandable to learn it out from the pasuk Kaddish Elulim, depending on a different machlokes, and that is Hani Chalamanda Toni Netaravai. It would be an understandable source for the one that learns out that the laws of Revai, of the fourth year, that the first 3 years, again, are Erlev, it's forbidden to have a no, and the fourth year is permitted, but has to be brought up to Yerushalayim, that applies to the fruits of old trees, of all the things that are planted. Then we can understand how they would learn that out from Kodesh Elulim. In other words, the Gemara is, so to speak, concluding the question. And that is, they say that, according to the one that learns Netar Revai, so he holds that all the fruits of old trees are included in this halacha, the fourth year. And obviously he does not have that second drasha. Again, we have a, so to speak, an analysis, a drasha of two different halals. That's the hilul plural. The first one, everyone agrees, has to be used for that achle v'hadar achle. But the second one, which we had said was davar torn hilul, torn chila, something that requires praise. That's the only thing that requires dizi consecration. Obviously, this mandama doesn't agree with that, because he holds that it doesn't apply just to the fruits of a vineyard. He holds it applies to the fruits of old trees. So therefore, he has one extra hill, so to speak, the second of the pluralistic hill, to tell you that one requires to be mahal Hashem before he eats. So therefore, we see a source for brachas from the second of the pluralistic kodesh hilulim l'Hashem. However, Elaman de Toni Kerem Revai, but according to the one that learns that the laws of the fourth year only applies to Kermavite, the fruits of a vineyard. So then we're back to the question, as we said before, Mayikalamema, what can we say? In other words, we need it for the drasha of Hilulim, that Ein Chilul Elabamakim Hil, that deconsecration, the laws of the fourth year only apply to something that requires Hil, that is wine, which is the only thing that we say Shiran in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, according to the Mandama Netaravai, we have a source for brachas, but according to the Mandama Kermavai, we do not have a source for brachas. Ditma, as we learned, this machloik is regarding if the laws of the fourth year fruits is Kermavai or even Netarvai. As the Gemara says, we learned in that there was a machloik samayron. Reb Chiya v'Reb Shimon b'Rebbe. Chad toni Kermavai v'chad toni Netarvai. That they had this machloik is that wherever it was learned in the Mishnayis regarding the laws of Revai, what was the proper girsa? One said that it should say Net Revai, and the other one on Kerem Revai. And that is, again, this machlik is that we said that according to the one that learned that the laws of Revai apply to Netta, to all fruits. So then we have an extra word, Hil, that it's not being used to tell you that the laws of Revai only apply to something that requires Hil, which is wine, which is Kerem, and rather applies to all fruits. So therefore, he can use that to tell you the halacha of Ahal, which is the source for brachas when one eats. But according to the one Kerem Revai, there is no source yet for where we know that there's a chiv to make brachas when one has hanah and one eats. So now the Gemara fine-tunes the question even further. And the Gemara says that l'man d'toni kerem revai, even according to the one that learns kerem revai, which we said that he has no source, it would be a way to find a source for him from the pasuk that we brought in the Braisa. And that is, hanichi yolef gzeir shava. It would be acceptable if he learns the limud of the gzeir shava. That is, there's a gzeir shava that would teach us the halacha that Revai only applies to Kerem, and therefore we wouldn't need the second Hilul to tell you that it only applies to something that requires Hilul, and that's where the halachas of Revai apply to, which in other words to Kerem, and that's where we would know to exclude other fruits. Rather, he knows it from Exer Shav, and therefore he would have the extra Hilul to tell you again the source for brachas to Tanya Zulutna Braisa. Rebbe Yomer Nemekan, it says over here by the halachas of Revai, Lahoisiv Lachem Tuvasa, that if you're going to do these halachas and not eat the fruits the first 3 years and then bring the fourth year up to you, Yerushalayim, that's to increase for you your produce. So it says the word Tuvasa, produce. Venem Lahalan says over there by the halachas of Klaya Kerem, which is the Isser, the prohibition of mixing different types of plantations together, and specifically in this case in a vineyard, it says Tuvasa Kerem, and the produce of your vineyard. So they both have the word tvua, and malahal and kerem, just like over there by Klaim, it was talking about a vineyard, afkan, kerem, here also where it uses the word tvua, by the lachas of Revai, it's also applying to the dafka kerem, and therefore, ayate lechad hil lebracha. So then, if this manda'ama would agree to the gzer shava, and of tvua, and that's how you know that the lachas of Revai only apply to kerem and not to other fruits, and therefore, he would have the extra hill, the second of the pluralistic hills, to tell you that you have to be mehal Hashem when you come in to eat. That's the source of a bracha. However, the Gemara says, v'iloy yolav gzeir shava, but if they were not to learn the gzeir shava, like those that argue on Rebbe, and they don't agree to the gzeir shava, tvua, to tell you that the halachas Revai only apply to Kerem, so then bracha menol, again, we're back to the question, where would that manda amar know that you make a bracha when you're going to eat? Because again, we need both pluralistic hilulim to tell you, one, that you have to first deconsecrate achle, v'hada achle, then you could eat the fruits of the fourth year, because then you're going to bring up the money to Yerushalayim, and therefore you could consume the actual produce here. And the second of the hilulim is necessary to tell you that only something that requires hilul requires chil, that only kerem, only the fruits of a vineyard, which are the things that are said shirin in the Beis HaMikdash, only that requires chil, only that the laws of Revi apply to, not other fruits of the tree, because that mandama we're saying would not agree to the Gezer Shava to learn it out from a different source. So now the Gemara says that even according to what we said before is possibly difficult. We said that if you learn a Gezer Shava, so then you have, so to speak, the extra hilul to tell you that the halachas of brachas. Then the Gemara says, v'inami yolav gzeir shava, that even if you do learn the gzeir shava, so you have a source for that, you know that it only applies to kerem, and you don't need to learn it out from davar torn hil, torn chil, but ashkechan la'achiv, then we only found a source for making a bracha after one eats. And that is, as Rashi says, the reason why the Gemara assumes that if we had one bracha, it would be the one afterwards, because we find in the Torah already, by birchas hamazon, that that's, the, so to speak, the biblical bracha that's made on food, and it says v'echalta v'savata v'rachta, that you eat and you say that, and then you make the blessing. So we see that would be the one that would be the more assuming one, that you would make a bracha afterwards. So if we have one extra hill, you would make a bracha after you eat. But lefana minayim, but how do you know you make a bracha before you eat? Because we only have one hill, we don't have hilulim. The first hill, everyone's agreeing that you have to learn out from deconsecrating, and then you could eat. So the answer is holy kasha. The asi b'kalvachaymer, because we could learn that from a kalvachaymer, and that is kishu sovei mevarach. If a person's making a bracha when he's satiated, after he's eating, so kisharav lekalshkin, so when he's hungry, isn't that obvious that you're, so to speak, appreciative after you're eating, so it's what's done is done. But beforehand, when you're really hungry, then it's obvious a person would make a bracha, just like he makes a bracha afterwards, as we learn out from the extra hill. So from that one hill, you could tell me that I would know a bracha afterwards, and from a kalvachaymer, I would know that you would make a bracha beforehand too. So now, the only thing that we answered was the second question. In other words, that we learn out even only if you learn a gzeir shava, so then you have one extra hill, and then from that extra hill, you can learn a bracha achrayin, and from bracha achrayin, you can learn out a kalvachaymer to bracha rishayna. However, we have yet to resolve where the source for brachas would be, according to the one that learns that not gzeir shava, and he learns kerem revai. Again, then you would need both hilulim for chilulim to tell you two different halachas, and you would have no source for the halachas of brachas. So now the Gemara proceeds and says that even according to the one that learns kerem, and there's one extra, because he learns the gzeir shava for the halacha of kerem, and therefore he has one extra one to tell you brachas, and from the bracha chren, I'll know bracha rishayin. However, ashkechan kerem, the Gemara says. So we have found a source that you have to make a bracha when you're eating the fruits of a vineyard. Because that is the context of the pasuk of Kodesh Elul Mashem. This manda amar holds, unlike the manda manetravai, holds it's only going on a grapevine. And there you have to bring those fruits up to Yerushalayim. And that we see that it has to be holy with praises to Hashem, that you make a bracha after you eat, and from kavachem before you eat. But how do you know you make a bracha? Shar mina minayin. How do you know you can make a bracha on other types of food? How do you know? So the Gemara says, "Do yolaf mikerem?" Because you'll learn from a vineyard. The makerem davish and then a return bracha. Just like by a vineyard, it's something that a person benefits from, he enjoys, and he's obligated to make a bracha, as we learn from the pasuk of Kodesh Elul L'mashem, when he brings up the fruits of the vineyard to Yerushalayim. So I've called davish and then a return bracha. So too, everything that when you have benefit from it, you have to make a bracha. So the Gemara says, "Ikla mifrach." I could refute that limit if that's where you're learning it out from. Malakerem. How could you compare to kerem that's more chamer, that's more stringent than other food items, shekin chayiv ba'olis, because it's obligated in the halacha of oilis. As the pasuk in Vayikra Yotes says, v'charma chaloisa oil, that you should not take the oilis from your vineyard. And what are the oilis, what are the immature, the word oilis from the word of a child, what are these immature grapes? It's anything that doesn't have a shoulder or drooping, it rather has just a single row of grapes, it has not yet fully developed, that has to be left for the poor. And that's of chumr that we only find by grapes. And maybe that, since it's a more chumr-digger type of a food, I mean, maybe that's why it requires brachas when you eat it. How could you know to other foods? So the Gemara says, kamatechech. Because then the standing grain demonstrates that that's not the qualification, because we find that there is a bracha that's necessary to make when one eats grain. As it says in the pasuk, Devarim Ches, Toichel Balechem, you should eat bread. And afterwards it says, Bechalta Besavate Berachta. So you see that you make a bracha on something, even though it doesn't have the characteristic of the Chumrah of Allah. To which the Gemara says, yeah, but malakama shekin chayev es b'chala. But how can we learn that from chala that we would be necessary to make a bracha that also has its own chum, its own stringency, that it has the obligation of chala, that when a person makes a certain amount of dough, he has to separate a part of it that goes to the kayin. So therefore, since it has a chum, maybe that's why it has the chum similarly of making a bracha. To which the Gemara says, kerem yichich. However, a vineyard can demonstrate that that's not the characteristic, because there is no chalach of chala regarding a kerem, it still requires a bracha. And therefore the Gemara says, v'chazra din, and the argument repeats itself, loy rizeh krizeh, the nature of one is not like the other, v'loy rizeh krizeh. In other words, the characteristics of that are more stringent of the grapevine is not like the same stringency as it is by the standing grain of challah. However, hatzara shavah shaben, the common characteristics that they do have, which we see is what obligates them in making a bracha, is davish and nana b'tarim bracha. There are things that one benefits from and therefore requires a bracha. I've called davish and nana b'tarim bracha. So to anything that one benefits from, one requires a bracha. And we can learn that from both kerem and from challah and from kama. However, the Gemara says, still, you can learn out from them because they both have a common characteristic which is more stringent than everything else, that they have an aspect that goes to the altar. And that is the wine goes for the nesachim that is poured on the mizbech. The soilus, the flowers used for the carbon menachis that are used as a carbon also. And so therefore, how would you know everything else? Maybe it's these things that have this chumrah that they're brought in the mizbech. That's why you have to make a bracha. Whereas everything else that's not brought in the mizbech, maybe not. To which the Gemara says, "V'asi nami zayis." I would be able to include also olives, that it would be obligated in the bracha. The ispeit tzad mizbech, because that would be included in this tzad hashav, in the common characteristic, because it's also brought on mizbech as olive. Olive oil is brought on together with the menachis, so therefore I would know that that also would be included, but everything else I don't know. To which the Gemara interrupts in the middle to ask a question. V'zayis mitzad mizbech asi, is that true that that would be my source for olives that's required in to make a bracha because it has a common characteristic that's brought on the mizbech? V'behed yiksiv bekerem. But the pasuk explicitly writes about olives that it has the terminology kerem. Tachsiv, as it says in the pasuk in Shoftim, regarding when Shimshon, what he did is he tied the fire on the tail of the foxes to attack by the Pelishtim, by the Philistines. It says, v'yavre migadish radkama, that he burned piles of their produce up until their standing grain, v'ad kerem zayis, until the olive kerem, the olive grove. So we see that the olives are called a kerem, so therefore just like we have the limud of kerem that tells us that kerem is required in the bracha, as the pasuk kodesh elul mashem is going on kerem, so therefore zayis I would know just from the pasuk itself. I don't need to learn that out from the tzad hashava of from kerem and from the kama. So amar papa, kerem zayis ikri, kerem stam aloy ikri. Correct. The olive grove is called a kerem zayis. It has two names. However, it's not called an unmodified kerem. In other words, it's not never called kerem, it's called kerem zayis, and therefore it would not be included in the limud of Kiddush Elul Mashem, and that's how I would have to learn it out from the Tzad HaShava of Mizbeach, which is from kerem and from kam. However, the Gemara says, in any event, mikom mokum kasha, we still left with the difficulty, and that is mala tzad hashava shebehen shekin yesh behen tzad mizbeach. That how would I know to learn out anything besides olives from kerem, from grapes and from flour that have, so to speak, an aspect that's brought in the mizbeach, and everything else doesn't? I wouldn't know that you would have to make a bracha. So the Gemara goes to a different source. El diyolof la meshivas. I mean, rather, I would learn out the chiyuv of brachas for every type of food from the seven species that Eretz Yisrael, so to speak, is blessed with. As it says, chitus, it goes through all of them, and afterwards it says, v'chalta b'zavatever after, that we see that the chiyuv of bracha goes on when one consumes something of the shivas aminim of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, mas shivas aminim davish and b'tarim bracha, just like the seven types of species that there are of that Eretz Yisrael as mishubachin, that it's something that someone benefits from and requires a bracha. I've called davish and b'tarim bracha also anything that a person benefits from and requires a bracha. However, the Gemara says that no, you can't learn that from Shevas Aminim, because Mala Shevas Aminim, Shekin Chayovim Bibikurim. Shevas Aminim has its own chum, its own stringency, that it's subject to the obligation of the first fruits, which are called Bikurim. That is, when the first fruits come out, you have to tie something around it, and that has to be brought up to the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that that applies to the Shevas Aminim, as the Gemara Menachis on the Pei Daled says, that it says over here, Eretz, Ki Vasi Ela Eretz, which is the Chiyuv of Bikurim, and it says over there, Eretz Chitus HaAretz, which refers to the Shevet Aminim, and the Gemara learns over there, just like over there, it's talking about the Shvach HaAretz, which is the praise of Eretz Yisrael, which are the seven species. Also over here, regarding the Chiyuv of Bikurim, it's also referring to Shvach HaAretz, which is the seven types of things, and of the species that Eretz Yisrael is Meshubachin, and only that requires Bikurim. So therefore, how do I know that any other fruit, that's not one of the Shevet Aminim, that requires a Bracha? And moreover, the Gemara says, "Va'oid hatenach la'achrav." That would only be a good source for making a bracha achrayna, which it says over there, "V'chalta v'zavata v'ra'achta," that I have to make a bracha after I eat. Lefan of minayim, but how would I know a source for making a bracha rishayna is making a bracha before one eats? To which the Gemara answers, as we mentioned before, "Holei kasha." That wouldn't be a difficulty because da'as be'kavu chaimer kushas aveim avar kisharav lekalchken. If he's making a bracha when he's satiated, when he's already full, when he's hungry and he's appreciative, for sure he should have to make a bracha. However, we're still maintaining the first question, which is still difficult, that I would only know the Shivas Aminim, which has its own stringency. I would not know all other fruits where a source for brachas would be from. And then the Gemara goes back even to the original Shita of Netar Abai that we thought we resolved, that we were able to learn it out from the extra word Hilulim for that mandam of Netar Abai. So now the Gemara says, Ulamanda Tani Netar Abai, even the one that learns Netar Abai, that the Halachas of Abai applied to fruits of all the fourth year, and therefore he didn't need the second Hilulim to tell you that it's only by something that requires Hilul, which is Kerem, and therefore you could learn that all fruits from the extra word Hilulim, Kodesh Hilulim Hashem, but Hotenach called Dvar Netia. The most I would be able to learn that from Kodesh Hilulim Hashem are all things that are planted that grow from trees, because that's the context of the pasuk, Kodesh Hilulim Hashem, that all the fruits of trees have to be brought up to Yerushalayim, and you see praises when you're consuming it. The lav bar Netia, but things that are not planted, kigim basar, beitzim, adogim, for example, like meat and eggs and fish, minole, how would I know that one requires a bracha? So the Gemara concedes and says, Elisvaruhu. Rather, the idea that one has to say a bracha when one eats is based on reason. And that is, also it's forbidden for a person to enjoy, to have pleasure from this world without a bracha, without thanking Hashem, without understanding its source. And that is because according to both Mandu'amrim, there is a question. According to the one that learns up Karim Revai, and then you would have to learn up a bracha from the Shivas Aminim, there would be that difficulty, as we said, because Shivas Aminim has own chumah that requires Bikurim. And then even according to the one that learns of Netar Abai, there is the question that I would understand that you could learn all the things that are planted that grow on trees. But things which do not grow on trees, where would you know it from? And rather, that's what the Gemara is saying, that it's a svara, that since you have pleasure, you have to thank the one that created it. Taisus says, so what do we do with the Braisa that brought a pasuk before and says we learned that from Kodesh Elul Hashem? So I said that's nasmachta be'alma. It's just an allusion to that halacha, which was, so to speak, a svara, but it's not the real biblical source. It's not what the pasuk is actually referring to. And the Gemara initially had thought that it was a limud gam, it was a full-fledged teaching, and therefore that's where they went through this whole discussion asking, really, we wouldn't know the source of brachas from there. And that's what the Gemara says, correct. It's really a svara, but just it's an allusion to it from the words Kodesh Elul Hashem, that the foods that one eats is holy for praises to Hashem, that you have to thank Hashem before and after one eats. Similarly, the Gemara continues on this theme about the prohibition of, so to speak, having pleasure from this world without thanking Hashem. Tanabon, we learned in the Braisa, as we mentioned before, that it's forbidden for a person to have pleasure from this world without a bracha. And whoever does have pleasure from this world without a bracha, so then he is guilty of committing the halacha of me'ila, which is as if he had pleasure from hektish, from those things which are consecrated to Hashem, as it says in the pasuk, the Gemara is going to bring in a moment, lashem ha'aretz ha'malaya, that this earth and all its fullness belongs to Hashem, it's like hektish, and therefore you're guilty of me'ila. So what is a person's remedy? How could he fix this problem of, so to speak, having pleasure from this world without making a bracha? Let him go to a sage. So the Gemara asks, let him go to a sage, to a Talmud Chacham. What's he going to do for him? He already did the Isser. He had enough from this world without making a bracha, without thanking Hashem. So the Gemara says, correct. El Amar Rava says, Yelech Etzel Chacham Meikara. We meant to say that you should go to a sage initially. And I'll teach you brachas, that you won't come to me'ila. And that is, although sometimes people don't intentionally mean to have pleasure from this world without making a bracha, but one has to know the right bracha, when to make it, and they're all important because or else it's as if considered as if you never made the bracha, and it's as if one is ma'al and one had hanah from hektish. So go to the chacham beforehand that one does not come to commit me'ila. Similarly, the Gemara brings Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Whoever has enjoyment from this world without a bracha, it's as if he had enjoyment from those which are consecrated for Shemayim, for Hashem. Shenem, as it says in the pasuk, Lashem aretz malaya, that to Hashem belongs the earth and its fullness. And that is, if we take without, so to speak, asking permission by making a bracha, we're guilty of having hanoah from kachi Shemayim. So the Gemara says that this pasuk, Reb Levi posed a contradiction. On the one hand, Ksiv Lashem aretz malaya, it says that to Hashem is the earth and its fullness. That it sounds like it belongs to Hashem. Uchsiv, but on the other hand, it says in the pasuk, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem. The heavens are for Hashem. The haaretz nasnan lavnei adam, but the earth was given to mankind. So whose is it? Is it Hashem, so to speak, or is it ours? So the Gemara says, Loi kasha. It depends. Kan koidim bracha. Here it's referring to before one makes the bracha, then it's Lashem aretz malaya. And now we continue on to Amud Beis. However, Kan la'acha bracha, here that we said that it was a arts and the son of the Adam, when is it given over to man? That's after he makes the bracha, then it, so to speak, becomes ours. And Taisus brings it interesting that a Gemara in Shabbat of Kofi Tes, that people used to have the minig there, they would say that when the table of with the food would be brought, then it's not theirs yet, so to speak. They would say, Lashem aretz malaya. When they would take away the table, that after they had made their brachas already, then they would say, Hashemayim, Hashemayim, Lashem, v'aretz nesan lavnei adam, that it was given to mankind. Again, that was in the merit of our making our brachas, that Hashem, so to speak, lets it be ours. So the Gemara continues on this and says, Omer b'chinin about Papa, kol anenim al oil mezebelei bracha, whoever has an enjoyment from this world without a bracha, kilu goyz la'kadosh baruch hu ukenes Yisrael, as if he stole, he robbed from Hashem and from the Jewish people. And that is, Rashi says he robbed from Hashem the bracha that was coming to Hashem, so to speak. And he was robbing from Klal Yisrael because when a person sins, the produce, so to speak, gets hit, and that it doesn't have the same quality and quantity. And therefore, by not making a bracha, it causes that he was stealing from Hashem and from Klal Yisrael. Shenem, as it says in the pasuk, Goizel Ove Ve'ime, one who robs his father and his mother, Ve'ime Ein Pesha, and he says that he didn't commit a crime. He is a companion to the destroyer, to the destructive man. And that is, since this person says, I did nothing wrong, so he's lax in what he's doing, other people are seeing, and they're learning from him that to have enjoyment from this world without making a bracha. So therefore, that's what the pasuk ends off and calls this person who is lenient, that he's a chaver lish mashchis, that he's a companion to the destroyer. And as the Gemara says, how do we know this is talking about someone that doesn't make a bracha and that he's stealing from Hashem and Klal Yisrael? Because ve'ein ave ve'el HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say his father, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenema halehu avicha kanecha, he's your father, he's your creator, he's the one that made you. That's a reference to Hashem. Ve'ein imo ele kanes Yisrael. And when it says he stole from his mother, that means the assembly of Klal Yisrael, shenema shema b'ni musar avicha. Hear, my son, the rebuke of your father. And do not forsake the instruction of your mother. That word Torah, which is related to Imecha, that's a reference to Klal Yisrael, as it says, the Torah is Moirasha Kehilas Yaakov. So therefore, when it says that Torah is Imecha, obviously it's a reference to Klal Yisrael, so that's stealing from Hashem and stealing from Klal Yisrael. That's the person that has a no without a bracha. And this person, it says that he says, Ein Pesh, I did nothing wrong. So it says that he's a chavah hu leish mashchis. The Gemara asks, my chavah hu leish mashchis, what does this mean that he's the companion for the destructive man? So I'm chenin about Papa, that he's a chavah hu leiravim ben nevat. He's a companion to Yeravim ben nevat. And that is, he was a wicked king, that he sinned and he caused Klal Yisrael to sin. That is, as the category of chayti and machti, that sins and cause others to sin. Shehishchis is Yisrael lavim shebashmayim, that he destroyed the loyalty, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael to the Father in heaven. That's the same thing of this person that has enjoyment from this world without making a bracha. He's lax, and then he says, oh, what's the big deal? So other people learn from him also. He also joins the ranks of Yeravim ben Nevat by being a chayti umachti esarab. Now the Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amor. Reb Chanina bar Papa posed a contradiction. On the one hand, Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, V'lekachti d'goni b'ita. Hashem says, I'm going to punish Klal Yisrael, and whatever the context is talking about over there. And he says, I'm going to take my grain back in its proper time. Uchsiv, on the other hand, it says in the pasuk, in the parasha of Ahoy Mishmai, which we say in Kriyishma, says, V'asavta d'ginecha v'gomi, that you will gather your grain. Now, whose grain is it? Is it Hashem's grain, or is it mankind's grain? So the Gemara says something similar to the contradiction we had before regarding Lashem Aretz Maloya and V'aretz Nesan Levnei Adam, that Loi Kasha. Here it's talking about what Klal Yisrael is doing in the will of Hashem. Then it's their grain. And that's as it says in the parasha of Ahim Shemaya, if you're going to listen and everything and you're going to do the mitzvahs, then you're going to gather your grain. However, here in the context over there where it said that Hashem is going to punish them and take back his grain, it's talking about that they're not doing the will of Hashem, and then he's going to take it back and he's going to show them that it's his. That depends on, again, if they're doing the will of Hashem. Similar to like we said before, if you make a bracha, then it's yours. If not, Hashem says, it's my grain, and I'm going to take it back. Related to this pasuk of Vasavta de Genecha, the Gemara brings a braisa that has a different discussion. Tanabon. Vasavta de Genecha, it says in the pasuk that you will gather your grain. So the Gemara asks, the braisa asks, Matam Aleima, what's it teaching us? I mean, it's just like, of course, if Hashem is going to bless you and everything and you're going to gather your grain, that's something that people do. Why does it have to say that in the context of the psukim as part of the bracha, so to speak? So the braisa brings down the machloikis, and that is lafisha nemer, because it says in the pasuk lo yomesh sefer Torah zemipicha, that it should not depart from your lips this book of the Torah. In other words, you should never stop learning. So the braisa says yochel dvarim kiksav, and you would think that the words are actually as they're written. In other words, that a person should not be involved in derech eretz and parnasa. The only thing you should do all day from the morning till night is learn Torah. That's why I needed the pasuk to tell you that you should gather your grain. That is hanik behen minik derech eretz, that you should lead with them. In other words, a reference to the words of Torah. That should be your mainstay. But with that should be the conduct of the world of the way of the world, which is so to speak called derech eretz. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says, that you should learn, but you should also conduct your affairs and take care of what has to be done. Bshim ben Yechai argues, and he says, is it really possible that someone will be plowing at the time when you have to plow? And he will sow and plant it at the time when people sow and plant. And he will reap it and cut it at the time when people are cutting it. And he's going to be threshing it at the time when people thresh. And he's going to be winnowing at the time when there's wind to blow away the chaff. Then Torah Mateleh, what's going to be with Torah? I mean, when is it going to be time to learn? You're going to be busy all the time with things that are necessary with taking care of your needs. So how does he resolve the contradiction? If he holds that one should always be learning, because when else are you going to learn? So how do you resolve the contradiction of Asaf de Genecha and Lo Yomesh HaSefer Termezem Picha? So he says, it depends. El Bezman Sheyisol Oysen Tzeinish HaMalkam, similar to what we said before. At the time of Klai, so does the will of Hashem, then Malach de Nasa Dechem, then their work is done through other people. Shnim, as it says in the Pasuk, Va'omdu Zarm, and then foreigners will stand up, V'ro'u Tzeinchem, and they will shepherd your flocks, V'gaymer, that others will take care of your needs. And that's what it means, that lo yomesh sefer termezem epicha, that's the prime, that's the ultimate, what a person, a Jew, should be doing. Bezman she'ein Yisrael eisen tzunish l'makam, at a time when Klai Yisrael does not do the will of Hashem, then malach t'nasa de'atzim, then they're going to have to do their own work. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, v'asaf de'genecha, that you will gather your grain. V'lo yoda, not only that, he says, el shemalech esachirim nasla yoda, and rather other people's work will be done through them. Shnema, as it says in the pasuk, by the teichecha, by the rebuke, what will happen if Klaus would not follow the way of Hashem, you will serve your enemies. And that is, he resolves the contradiction, not that like Rabbi Shmuel that says that they go in tandem, that you should do both Torah and your work. Rather, you should only learn. And if you only learn, then your work will be taken care of someone else. When it says v'asaf de'genecha, is when you're not doing the will of Hashem, then you'll have to do your own grain and possibly even other people's work. So Taisus wonders that from the Gemara before, it seems that v'asaf de'genecha was, the Gemara said, that's when it's de'gancha, that you're doing the will of Hashem, the Gemara said, then you'll gather your grain. As the pasuk is even saying, v'haim shemaya, it says that, so to speak, you're listening to Hashem. And then it says that's doing retention of Shemakam, and only Belekach to the Ganiv, and I'll take back my grain, is not doing the will of Hashem. So how does Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai say that the Pasuk Vasav de Genecha is talking when you're not doing the will of Hashem, and therefore you're going to have to gather your own grain? So he says, it's talking about that, of course, they're doing the Rotzen of Hamakam. And that's why it's called the Genecha, it's your grain. And that's why it's in the Parsha of Haim Shemaya, that you're listening and doing the mitzvahs. However, Tay says, they're not doing the Ritzayna Kolkach, they're not doing the optimum will of Hashem. And that is that they're not Tzadikim Gemurim, they're not purely righteous people. And that is, as the Mefarshim explained, that Bohem Shemoy is doing the will of Hashem. But that was said for the masses. And there it says, B'chol Avavchem, B'chol Nafshchem, but it doesn't say B'chol Ma'idchem. It doesn't say with all your money, with all your resources. It only says that in the parasha of Shema, B'chol Ma'idchem, which is talking about to the individuals, the ones that are like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that they're the ones that only learn, so to speak, and their work is taken care of by other people. So, of course, it's doing the Ratzon HaMalkum, but it's not the ultimate, and then you'll have to gather your grain, and it won't be done through other people. So now the Gemara concludes about this, which we have this big machlokes between Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. What should a person do? Should he only learn all day and let everything be done by others? And if he, so to speak, fails in that, then he has to do his own work, And then he might even have to do other people's work. Versus Rabbi Shmuel says, no, people should do both. You should learn and you should work. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, he so to speak shows the statistics. That Harba Asr Rabbi Shmuel v'Olsa B'Yad, many did like Rabbi Shmuel, that they learned and they worked, and they were successful. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'Olsa B'Yad, many did like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and they were not successful. That so to speak, it's only for the Yechidei Skula, only the so to speak, the elite can do that. That has to be, you have to be able to be on the madrega of a moon, a betachen, that so to speak, to only learn and have all your needs taken care of by other people. So the Gemara says something related to this, that Amalei Rav L'Rabbanan, the Rav said to Rabbanan a statement which seems to be like Rabbi Shmuel, which since he's saying it to the masses, to older Rabbanan, not to the individuals, because possibly individuals are like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but for the masses, he said the following message. I beg of you, I don't want to see you here in Yeshiva during the days of Nisan and days of Tishrei, which are the times of Bein Hazman and Yeshiva during the times of Pesach and of Sukkot. And the reason is because the days of Nisan are the days when you should be Yemei Haktzir, when you should be, so to speak, reaping the things that you planted. And the days of Tishrei are the times when they have to press the wine and the oil. Those are busy times for work. I don't want to see you here. And the reason is, I don't want you to be preoccupied with your sustenance the whole entire year. In other words, you're going to be trying to bounce and follow up with a check and run to the bank. Take care of your needs when you're supposed to. Take care of your derech eretz. Go Nisan and Tishrei and take care of your work. And then you'll have the peace of mind and the focus to be able to learn in its proper timing. So that's the machlokes again between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And many Mefarshim say that it's not really a machlokes, it depends on the madrega that the person's on. If it could be like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that as the Rambam says, that anyone that's nud verucha, that so to speak aspires for that madrega, can be like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and only learn and his needs are taken care of by others. However, the masses must be like Rabbi Shmuel, and that's the only way they're going to be successful, because that's the madrega that they're on. So related to this discussion about that, everyone agrees that, depending on how much Torah, but that the one's kvius, one's essential establishment should be in Torah, and then the rest should be work. So the Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan Amar B'Yechanan Meshum Rehud Bar Eloi, in the name of Rehud Bar Eloi, Boi Re'ei Shaloi K'dayis Rishayin Dayis Achim. It says, come and see that the later generations are not like the earlier generations, and that is Dayis Rishayinim Oster Teresin Kva Omalachten Ari. The earlier generations, they made their Torah the mainstay, and their work was, so to speak, secondary. It was incidental. It was just something that was necessary for them to do. Zuvizu and the Skambi Adam, therefore both their work and the learning remained with them. They were successful in both arenas. However, the later generations, where there they make their work the main thing and they make their Torah secondary, like they find a few minutes possibly to learn something. Zuvizu, loin the Skambi Adam, they weren't successful. They didn't remain with either one. They weren't successful at their work and they weren't successful in their learning. Similarly, the same similar statement from the same Amora, the Amar Rabbi Chanan Amar Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, Boi Re'ei Shalik Adoris Rishayin Adoris Archein. See again how the later generations are not like the earlier generations, and that is Adoris Rishayinim Hoy Machnisin Periseim Derech Traksman. The earlier generations, they would bring their crops in through the normal route, straight in through the front door, and the place where it comes in and out, and that is Kedei L'chayvim B'mais, because they wanted to obligate their produce for the chiyuv of taking off a tenth of it that had to be given to the Levim. However, the later generation, they would bring in their produce, derech gagois, through the roofs, derech hatzeres, through the courtyards, in other words, not in the regular way, derech kafifis, through the storage yards. And why they bring in all these roundabout ways? Kedei lefoitrim min ha'maaseh, to free themselves from the obligation of taking over tenth. As the Gemara explains, what does this make a difference, how one brings in the produce into his house, if he's going to be chayiv in maaseh or not? Rabbi Yana says, ein ha'tevel meschayiv b'maaseh, at she'iroh p'nei ha'bayis, that the untithed produce, the tevel, is not obligated in the maaseh and taking over tenth until it sees the face of the house. And that is, min ha'tayra, one is not obligated until it's brought in. However, on achilas kva, so to speak, a real meal is asr midrabanan, even if it wasn't brought that way. But the chiyuv d'oraisa and the even midrabanan and achilas arai is only when it's brought straight through the front door. Shenem as says in the pasuk, bi'arti hakodesh min habayis. This is a pasuk is in reference to the trumas and maisis that one has to, so to speak, liquidate them out of his house and give it to where they're supposed to be after the third year and the sixth year of the 7 years of Shemitah. He says, when he says a certain nusach, a certain phrase, after he removed it, he says, "Bi'arta kodesh min habayis, I removed the sacred from my house." So from there we see that it says, "Min habayis," that it has to be the way that it comes in and out of the house, that's the only time when one is mechuyev in Meiser. However, if you bring it in the back door, so to speak, then you putter. And the later generations tried to exempt themselves. They wanted to get out of the mitzvahs. And the early generations understood mitzvahs are for our benefit. Hashem did not give it to put a yoke upon us. He gave it to us to give us pleasure. And therefore, they understood this and they wanted to be mechuyev in mitzvahs, unlike the later generations. As a side, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan Omar, that afil chatzah kevas, not only the house establishes and makes it mechuyev in ma'aseh, he says even the courtyard establishes it in the chiyev of ma'aseh. Shnema says in the pasuk over there where it says by the biyata kaitz from the bayis, it says va'ochlu b'sherech v'seveyu, that they shall eat it within your gates and they'll be sated. So from the gates, that not only the house, the entrance of the house, but even the gates of one's yard also obligates a person in the chiyev of ma'aseh. Now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, chutz min hayayin v'chulu, except for wine, that although it's a fruit that grows on the tree, and similarly for the fruit juices, would be bari per eitz, depending on if it's going to be shahakal or eitz, but it's going to have that characteristic, except for wine, that it gets its own bracha. To which the Gemara asks, maishna yayin, why is wine different than all the other drinks or fruits or foods that are there that are extra special? It's not a bari per eitz, rather it's a bari per agafen. So the Gemara discusses, if you say because it changed for the better, so it changed for the bracha. In other words, first you had grapes, and now you made it into wine. Wine is obviously more superior than grapes, so therefore it changed the bracha. It, so to speak, went up a madrega. But we have oil, which changed for the better, and it didn't change its bracha. In other words, you have an olive. An olive is good, but oil is much more higher quality. It could be used for many, many greater things. And still, the bracha doesn't change. The both Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan say that Shem and Zayis mevarchin love bari per eitz. And on olive oil, one makes a bracha, bari per eitz, just like we make on the fruits of every tree. So why would wine be different? If it changed for the better, we see that that's not a reason to change the bracha as we find by olive oil. So the Gemara says, no, Amri hasa mishum de leyavsha. The reason is because it changed for the better. But by olive oil, it's not possible to change the bracha. And that is, heichin nivrach, what bracha would we make on olive oil? Nivrach boi pri hazayis, would we make, similar to like we say, boi pri hagafen, that Hashem creates the fruits of the vine. So here also we would make a bracha on the olives, we would make, and moreover the olive oil, we'd make that Hashem creates the fruits of the olive tree, which is, the tree is called a zayis. So then, but perigufa zayis ikri, the fruit of the olive tree shares the same name as the olive tree itself. They're both called zayis. And therefore, Rashi explains that were we to call it the bracha bari pri hazayis, it would sound like we're saying that Hashem creates the fruit of the fruit, because the fruit itself is called zayis. But that wasn't created from Shemayim, that was created by mankind, that they went and they pressed the olive and made the olive oil. So we can't say bari pri hazayis, because again, that would sound like, especially since it's only going the olive oil, that Hashem made the fruits of the olive, which means the fruit of the olive is the olive oil. That's not true. Hashem didn't make that. We made that. However, regarding by the grapevine, where the grapevine is a tree and not the fruit, the grape is not called gefen, it's called anavim. So therefore, it would apply by the grapes and moreover by the grape juice, the wine, that you could say boi pri agafen, because that would only be mashma, that Hashem makes the fruits of the vine, which means the grapes, which in our case includes the wine, and therefore it would be appropriate, because it wouldn't be inclusive of saying, so to speak, the fruits of the grape, because the grape is not called gefen. But by zayis, you have that problem. What bracha would you make? So therefore the Gemara is saying, no, correct. The reason why we make a special bracha by wine is because it changed for the better. But you're asking me from olives is because we would not have a proper nusach to say to make it and change it at the bracha. But then the Gemara counters, no, it's not true. I could have a nusach. We can make the bracha that Hashem is the one that creates the fruits of the olive tree. And therefore I would know what's going on the tree and not on the olive itself. So therefore, that's a proper bracha to make. And if the reason, again, is because it changed for the better, that's why it changes the bracha. So therefore, it should also apply to olives. So obviously, that's not the reason. So the Gemara gives a different terence. The reason why wine is different than olives, than olive oil, is because wine sustains, and olive oil does not sustain. And therefore, wine is mochashiv to designate its own particular bracha because it sustains a person. And olive oil does not have that characteristic. So although it changes for the better, but it doesn't sustain. To which the Gemara asks, Mishkalei Zayin, is it true that oil does not sustain a person? But we learned in the Mishnah regarding a person that made a vow, So it says, "Hanoydim min ambazim." If someone makes a vow to abstain from sustenance, so he's mutter b'mayim b'melach. He's permitted, however, to have water and salt. And the Gemara says, "Vavina b'mayim u'melach u'dolayikri mazin." We asked on this that, oh, what? Water and salt is not called mazin. It's not called sustenance. Hakol miliyikri mazin, but everything else, all other food items and drinks, are called sustenance, and therefore all the other things would be included in this vow to abstain from. So the Gemara says, we asked, name it tavet yuvta Rav Shmuel, that there should be a refutation of Rav Shmuel, because the army, they say, ein mevarchim b'rim min mezaynes, il beha min levad, that we only make the bracha of Hashem makes different types of sustenance, mezaynes, only by the five types of grains that there are. And therefore, that would be saying that they hold that mazin, sustenance, is only for these five types of grains, which excludes everything else. And here we're saying that if someone vows to abstain from sustenance, that includes everything, not just the five types, and it just excludes only water and salt. So on that, says the Gemara, that we had answered, the Ver'amra of Huna, Rav Huna had said to, so to speak, be miyashiv, the Shita of Rav Shmuel, that it's talking, that Mishnah is talking about, Be'omer kol hazon olai, that everything that sustains is on me as a vow that I should not have a nah. In other words, this that it says that is permitted only in water and salt, but that would be forbidden by all other types of food and drink, that's not talking about, as we initially assumed, that someone says, Kainim maznalai, that I vow to abstain from sustenance. Because that's, as Rav Shmuel said, that the word mazain, mezainis, only includes the five types of grain, which are wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. That's the chitin, sa'irin, kustman, shibayel, shul, and shifrin. Rather, it's talking about that mission is when the person says, kol hazon alai kainim, that whatever sustains is on me as a vow, and that includes everything, because they don't have to be called mazon, rather they sustain. They're not, so to speak, that they are a sustainer, rather they have an element of sustenance. That excludes only water and salt, because they don't have any sustenance whatsoever. They work for other systems within the body, for the circulatory system, it helps for digestion possibly, but it doesn't help for sustenance. So however, the Gemara's question ultimately is Alma Mishchazayin. So we see that oil does sustain. Everything sustains besides water and salt. So why would it be any different than wine? So the Gemara gives a different qualification of wine, why that's different than olive oil. El chamis soid u'mishchaloi soid. Wine, not only that it sustains, it satiates, and that's more chashuv than just sustaining, whereas olive oil does not satiate, it does not make a person feel full. Although it sustains, it doesn't satiate. To which the Gemara responds, V'chamer misod, is it true, this teretz you're giving, that the reason why wine is more chashuv, that not only that it changes for the better, and not only that it sustains, but it even satiates a person, makes him feel full. Rava used to drink wine the whole Erev Pesach. Why did he drink so much wine? So that he should whet his appetite. That he should eat a lot of matzah, that he should eat it with a lot of an appetite, and that he should be hungry. So what do we see? That drinking wine, not only does it not make a person full, like we assume, but rather it even makes the person hungry, that he wanted to have an appetite to eat matzah, so that's why he drank wine. So how can we say that drinking wine satiates a person? So the Gemara says it depends. Two vagarer purtesoid. A lot of wine, as what Rava did Erev Pesach, that whets the appetite, gets you hungry. A little bit of wine, that satiates. And therefore, a little bit of wine is what we're talking about. That's why it gets its own bracha, because it makes a person feel full. So Tais says from here, it's mashma, that would be it would be forbidden to drink wine in Erev Pesach from this man of Mincha and further, because it makes a person feel full and you're supposed to be hungry to eat matzah. And it's only if you want to drink wine on Erev Pesach, you would have to drink a lot, as our Gemara says, because it whets the appetite, it makes you even more hungry. So now the Gemara says, so that's where we're holding, that the Gemara said that wine is different than olive oil, that because not only that it changes for the better and it sustains, but it even satiates. But then the Gemara asks, Umisoid Klal, is it true that it satiates at all in any case? In other words, we prove that when you drink a lot, for sure it doesn't satiate, it makes you hungry. But we said that when you drink a little, it does. Is that true? But I'll bring you from a pasuk that seems otherwise. It says, "V'aksiv v'yayin yisamach lavav enosh," that wine gladdens the heart of man. "V'lechem lavav enosh yisa," and that bread satiates the heart of man. And that is nahamahu desoid. Chamer leisad. It seems that only bread satiates, but wine doesn't satiate. Wine makes you happy, and bread makes you satisfied. So the Gemara says, "No, el chamer is beitarti." It's because wine has both qualifications. It satiates you and makes you happy. Therefore, it was just saying what wine has over bread, that not only does it satiate, but it even makes one happy. Nama misesoyt samuchili misamech. Bread is on a lower level that it only satiates and it doesn't make a person happy. And that's why regarding bread it said satiation, but regarding wine it said even more than that, it also makes the person happy. So therefore, as the Gemara comes out, the conclusion is that wine is different and even more so than olive oil, that not only that it changes for the better and it sustains a person, it even satiates a person, it makes him feel full, and that's why it gets its own bracha and it gives it its special chashivas. So then the Gemara says, if that's the case, ihachi, if it satiates a person, it's like a suda, it's soyed, never chalash shalash brachas, we should make three brachas, which are the three biblical brachas, min ha-Torah of birchas ha-mazen, that we say after we eat. Why don't we make birchas ha-mazen? We just make a bracha achroina of mein sheva, we just make a ala gefen, we should make birchas ha-mazen. It's like eating bread. So the Gemara says, correct, but it's missing an important characteristic of the chiyav of birchas ha-mazen, is that a likovi inchi sudusayu levei, that no one establishes their meals on wine. You don't, if you come to eat breakfast, lunch, or supper, you're not going to just sit down to a bottle of wine and eat that as your meal. And therefore, as one of the halachas of chiyav suda, of making birchas ha-mazen, is considered kviya suda, and that you don't make on a bottle of wine. To which the Gemara responds, but what would be the halacha if somebody goes and he sits down to lunch and he sits down to a bottle of wine? What would be the halacha? Would one make birchas ha-mazen or not? So if the time will come, Eliyahu will come and Mirza Hashem speedily in our days, and he'll say that it is considered a kviyas, then fine, he'll make birchas ha-mazen. But hashdemiya, but now, however, his opinion is nullified regarding all of mankind, and that is, we don't consider it an opinion at all, and that is, since people generally don't do that, we don't consider it a kviyas suda, and therefore the person would not make birchas ha-mazen, even if he sits down, so to speak, to eat his lunch on a bottle of wine. Rather, he would make a bracha achrona of ala gefen. So the Gemara returns to something we mentioned before. Within the discussion of why wine has its own special bracha, we brought in that why it's different than olive oil that does not get its own bracha, that a unique bracha, although it changed for the better. Kufa Amr Rav Yehuda Mishmol, V'chein Amr Rav Yitzchak Amr Rav Yechanan, both these Amaram said that Shem and Zayis Mevarchan Lav Bay Pura Eitz, that we said, whereas wine that gets its own bracha on olive oil, although it changed for the better, you make a Bay Pura Eitz just like you would make on the olive itself. So the Gemara says, Heichidami, what is the case? How do you ever have a situation when one is consuming olive oil to say that the bracha is going to be Bay Pura Eitz? If it's told me that you're just drinking straight up, you're taking a bottle of olive oil and you're drinking it, uzuki mazikle, it harms the person. And that is, since it harms the person, that's not considered an achila that requires a bracha, because by bracha it says, v'yachalta b'savata bracha, that you have to be eating, and this is not termed eating, it's termed harming a person. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, that something that's not, so to speak, worthy of eating, it's, we don't consider it eating, doesn't have a din of eating, and it won't have the same consequences. As it says in the Braisa, if someone drinks the oil of truma, and that is by mistake, so there are certain halachas that are required. Generally, when one has enough from hektish, from truma, he has to pay the keren, the principal, and he has to pay a fifth. So, however, it says if he's drinking the oil of truma, then mishalmas keren, he pays the principal, which is just like when the person damages truma or his friend, he has to pay back what he was mazik, the actual worth. However, ena mishalmas chemish, he does not pay the fifth. That's usually there when you have hano, when you consume truma, because by the fifth, it says a word of achila. As it says in Mayikachav Beis, v'ish ki yoichel kodesh b'shgog, if he consumes kodesh, which is a reference over there to truma by mistake, that excludes someone that just damages the truma, that he does not pay the fifth. And here we see that since he's drinking olive oil, it's considered that he's harming himself, and it's not even considered eating to pay the chaymish. However, hasach shemen shel truma, if someone anoints himself with oil of truma, then he is mishalmes hakeren and mishalmes hachemish. He pays both the principal and the fifth, as a klal and halacha is a sicha kashtia, that anointing is like drinking, and he has a similar pleasure, which is when he's consuming it, although not through his mouth, rather through his pores in his body. So therefore, the question is that how can you ever have a case of, so to speak, consuming olive oil that you would make a bracha on it? Drinking it straight up, one would not even make a bracha at all because it's not termed eating, it's termed harming. So the Gemara says, rather, it must be pas, that you're consuming, you're eating the olive oil through bread. In other words, as a condiment, you're dipping the bread into the olive oil. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, ihachi havile pas ikar v'hu tavol. So then the bread is primary ingredient, and then the olive oil is subordinate to that. And therefore, tonight we learn the Mishnah Zekal. This is the general rule when one is eating foods. A lot of times we have many different, so to speak, ingredients mixed together. You don't make a million different brachas. It's kol shehu ikar v'mitzvela, that whatever has the main ingredient, the primary ingredient, that has a secondary ingredient with it, mevarach ala ikar poitres atvela, you only make the bracha on the main ingredient, and that discharges, it patters the secondary ingredient. So therefore, that also wouldn't be a case of when you would make a bracha on the olive oil, when it's being used as a dip, as a condiment, because then you wouldn't make a bracha on the olive oil at all then, you would only make a bracha on the bread. So the Gemara gives a different case. El dekashasi le'al de'anigrin is talking about that one consumes the olive oil by the means of a nigrin. That is, it's a type of a dish that they would put in a lot of oil into it, and it's mentioned many times in the Mishnayos and many different places. As the Gemara explains what exactly this anigrin is. The Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, that he says, anigrin is maya de silki. What is this anigrin dish? It's basically the water of cooked beets. It's like a type of a soup, like a cooked beet soup. And sigrin, what's an sigrin, which is also mentioned in many places, that's maya, and we continue on to the top of Lamed Vav Amad Av, the kula shalki, it's the water of cooked vegetables. In other words, a cooked vegetable soup. And therefore, what we're saying is that when would we make a bracha on the olive oil? When you have a lot of oil in this beet soup. So then, in that olive oil, it's not bread. And in that beet soup, then you would make a bracha on the olive oil and would be a bari priyetz. To which you can ask a similar question as we mentioned before. Imkin, havali anigrin ikar v'shem etofol. Then again, the anigrin, the beet soup, is going to be the main ingredient, and the olive oil is secondary. And v'tnan, zeh klal kol sheker v'mitfeila, mevarach l'ikar poisa tefeila, that you don't make a bracha on the secondary ingredient, on the olive oil, only on the beet soup. So the Gemara says, and this is the resolution, the Gemara says, it's a special case. We're talking about a case when the person has a pain in his throat. Therefore, he has to put in a lot of oil into the soup, and therefore he's going to be having more oil than beet soup. And therefore, the olive oil becomes the main ingredient, and the beet soup becomes the secondary ingredient, because the whole purpose why he's having the soup is only for his throat, which the oil soothes and calms his throat. That's why he's taking it. As we learn in the Braisa, that people would do this. The Tanya is learning the Braisa. If someone has a sore throat, so then lo ya'ar enu b'shem en t'chila b'shabbos. Then on Shabbos, one should not initially gargle that olive oil on Shabbos. And that is, as Rashi explains, that a person should not maintain it there in his throat, and then not swallow it, rather than to spit it out. And the problem with that is, since he's not swallowing it, it's obvious that he's doing it for medicinal purposes. And the Chacham will geyser on all obvious refuahs and things that you're doing for healing purposes. And the reason why they made this gezeir was because they were concerned that one would come to, if we allowed him to use medicine, in the times of the Gemara, they would grind down the herbs to create medicine, which is a malacha of grinding of teichin, and therefore they made a gezeira. Since a person is going to be in a matzav of bahala, he needs to have his medication. He's going to come to do the malach on Shabbos. We said you now have medication. Besides, there are other exceptions. But if someone just has a meichesh palm, he just has like a sore throat, then we didn't allow him to use the medicine at all. Rather, what could he do? As we mentioned, this is what we mentioned in our Gemara, that rather he could pour a lot of oil into the beet soup and then he could swallow it. And that's the case that we're saying, when there's a lot of olive oil and a little beet soup and he's swallowing it, as people have to do on Shabbos because you can't gargle it, then in that case, the bracha on that beet soup is going to be a bari priyetz on the olive oil. To which Gemara asks, Peshita, so then it's obvious. If that's the case, then the shemen is the ikar, that because it's the main ingredient, and that's the main purpose of why you're drinking the beet soup. So therefore, of course, you're going to make a bari priyetz. What would be the chiddush in saying that we needed the two amarim to tell you that that's the bracha on the olive oil? So the Gemara says, I would think that since the intent of the person drinking this beet soup is for medicinal purposes, for a remedy, then I would think that you shouldn't make a bracha at all on that beet soup, because it's not for eating purposes. You're just taking it for like medication. This is an important halacha, that since he has hanoah from it, he's enjoying it, so then he has to make a bracha. And that is, that since his pleasure from this beet soup is not just that it's healing him, but he also enjoys, as he's taking it down, the hano of eating it. So therefore, one has to make a bracha. And similarly, some people, when they take their tums, that since if they enjoy it, they make a bracha. For that same reason, again, because the person is having enough in this world, and you can't have enough with, again, a hana of achila, of berachas hanen, is necessary to make a bracha before one takes this beet soup that has so much oil that it's just being used because he has a sore throat. In spite of that, it's still necessary to make a bracha.